Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. I've been sitting here with, I don't know, three screens open, just watching the news feeds out of Dubai and Hong Kong. And I have to tell you, the energy right now, it isn't just busy, it's frantic. It feels like the entire tech industry woke up this morning, looked at their quarterly projections, and just decided to blow up the status quo.
It really feels like the ground is shifting under our feet. I mean, usually when we prep for these deep dives, we have to kind of squint to find the connective tissue between the stories. Today, the theme just smacked us in the face. It's panic.
Panic. That feels a little strong. I was going to go with ambition.
I'd call it productive panic, or maybe adaptation at gunpoint. Look at the stack we have. We're seeing major players in gaming, retail, finance, all making moves that look, on the surface, almost desperate.
But they're not.
No, when you dig into the numbers, which we will, they're calculated survival strategies for this AI era.
Well, let's start with the panic coming out of the gaming world because this one hits home for me. We've got reports coming out of Dubai. Sony is announcing a state of play event for tomorrow. Now, Sony does these all the time, so why is this one causing such a headache for the analysts?
You have to look at the calendar, not just the press release. We are exactly 7 months into the life cycle of the Nintendo Switch 2.
That's not an accident.
Not at all. Sony isn't holding this event just to show off some flashy trailers. They were trying to stop the bleeding.
I knew the Switch 2 was popular. I mean, good luck trying to find one on a shelf in Chicago right now, but the numbers in this report are actually kind of terrifying for PlayStation.
They're historic.
We're looking at 28 million units sold in the first 7 months,
28 million. I mean, for context, you got to remember the PlayStation 5.
which was a massive success by any standard.
Exactly. A massive success, and it moved maybe 10 million units in that same time frame.
So Nintendo hasn't just done better. They've essentially tripled Sony's adoption rate.
It's a blowout. And, look at the market share breakdown. Nintendo's holding 65% of the Japanese market and, what, 42% here in the U.S. Sony is looking at those charts and seeing their grip on the average gamer just slipping away.
But isn't this just the classic console cycle? I mean, Nintendo wins on portability, on press. The Switch 2 is $399. PS5 is still sitting at $499. And Sony wins on power. So why is Sony scrambling now?
Because the gap is widening too fast. So this date of play tomorrow, it's a direct counterstrike. They can't compete on price. They can't compete on the fact that you can play the Switch on a bus. So the strategy we're seeing in these leaks is pure shock and awe. They have to remind people why that $500 box is worth it.
And according to these leaks, the awe is coming from Marvel's Wolverine.
Insomniac Games. The report gives it a 90% probability of being the headliner.
Which is huge. If that hits the same quality bar as the Spider-Man games, that's a system seller, period. But there's another name on this list, a new IP called Saros.
The sci-fi RPG.
Sure.
And that's significant because Sony knows they can't just rely on sequels forever, you
Yeah.
know? They need new blood. But honestly, Wolverine and Saros, those are expected plays. There is one rumor in here that I think we need to pause on because if it's true, it doesn't just change Sony's year. It changes the entire industry.
You're talking about the earthquake scenario, the Starfield rumor.
We're only giving this about a 40% probability based on the sources, but just the fact that it's being discussed is wild.
So for anyone who isn't deep in the console wars, Starfield was Microsoft's flagship. It was the whole reason you bought an Xbox. And now we're hearing it might come to PlayStation 5.
If this happens, it marks the end of the console war as we've known it for 20 years. It's a white flag from Microsoft on the hardware front.
That sounds like a surrender.
Or a brilliant pivot. Think about it. Microsoft might be looking at the same numbers we are, and Nintendo dominating, Sony holding the high end, and realizing the math just doesn't work for a third box anymore.
So they become a software publisher first.
Exactly. If they bring Starfield to PS5, they make money selling games to PlayStation owners. Sony gets a massive game for their library. Well, Nintendo just keeps doing what Nintendo does.
It's a new world order. You have the everywhere gamers on Switch and the high fidelity gamers on PlayStation.
And Sony's event is all about locking down that fidelity crowd.
Okay, speaking of drifting away, let's talk about customer loyalty in retail. This next story gave me a bit of whiplash. We have a company called Resolve AI. I'll be honest, before this morning, I hadn't really heard of them.
You're not alone. They're a pretty small player. Great tech, but a small footprint.
Small footprint is generous. They had, what, 8 million users? But they just dropped nearly $1 billion, $890 million to be exact, to acquire a company called Reward Loyalty.
And this is that retail version of rapid adaptation. Resolve AI had the engine, this incredible instant buy tech, but they didn't have the car.
And Reward Loyalty gave them the car.
A car with 450 million passengers.
450 million? I mean, overnight, they became the third largest shopping platform on Earth, right behind Alibaba and Amazon.
Just by writing one check.
But we see acquisitions all the time.
Yeah.
Tech companies buying user bases, that's not new. What makes this one so different? Why should Amazon actually care about a company that was a nobody yesterday?
It's about friction. Or, the lack of it. Think about the last time you tried to buy something you saw on social media.
Oh, it's a nightmare. I see a pair of sneakers on Instagram. I click the photo. It opens some weird in-app browser that doesn't save my login. I have to find my size, create a new account.
But find your wallet.
Right. I have to go find my wallet to type in the credit card numbers. Honestly, half the time I just close the app and give up.
Retailers call that cart abandonment, and it kills them. That process you just described takes like 5 minutes and converts at maybe 2%.
And the Resolve way.
They're betting the farm on the 10-second buy. You see the photo, you click it. Their AI already knows your size, your shipping address, and, this is the kicker, it instantly scans 50 different retailers to find the lowest price.
That's the part that really stood out. It's not just a checkout tool. It's a dynamic pricer.
It completely disrupts the Amazon model. I mean, Amazon works because it's a walled garden.
Right.
You go to Amazon, you pay the Amazon price, which isn't always the best price anymore.
Not at all.
Resolve is aggregating the entire open web. If those sneakers are $5 cheaper at some small store in Ohio, Resolve finds them, buys them, and ships them to you.
So it's weaponizing the data. Reward Loyalty has 12 years of history on these people. They know I buy running shoes every April.
And that's where the valuation comes from. It's predictive. They aren't waiting for you to search for coffee pods. They're putting a buy now button in front of you the morning you run out.
It's aggressive.
Yeah.
And the report mentions huge pushes into the UAE and Saudi Arabia. But does Amazon actually care? Amazon has the trucks, the warehouses. Resolve just has software.
They should worry about the interface. Not the logistics, not yet. If Resolve makes shopping feel like magic and Amazon starts to feel like a chore, that's how empires crumble. Slowly and then all at once.
Convenience is the ultimate currency. If I can save 4 minutes and $5, I'm taking that deal.
Every single time.
Okay, let's pivot from convenience to pure survival. We need to talk about this story out of China, a fintech company. Until yesterday, they were known as Nissan.
This is probably the most brutal story in the stack today. If you want a case study in pivot or die, this is it.
So Nissan was your standard fintech company. Supply chain financing, loans, boring but necessary stuff.
Yep.
Today, they didn't just pivot, they set their old identity on fire. New name, AIOS. New ticker symbol, complete overhaul of the business model.
It's a total rebrand. AIO stands for AI Operating System.
But this isn't just a marketing stunt. I mean, the human cost here is significant. The report says they're hiring 200 new AI engineers.
Which sounds great.
But they're firing 150 of their legacy staff at the same time.
It's a replacement, not an expansion. And you have to look at the math to understand why. In traditional fintech, margins are razor thin. Maybe, what, 6 to 8%?
And the AI margins.
You're looking at 25 to 35%.
That explains the 23% stock jump this morning. But what does an AI operating system for finance actually do? Is it just a chatbot?
No, it's much deeper. It looks like the end of the loan officer. They're moving to 30-second credit assessments. Instead of a human reviewing your tax returns for 3 days, an algorithm scans your entire digital footprint and approves or denies you in half a minute.
That feels risky. I mean, we've seen algorithms get things wrong. Biases in the code.
It's definitely cheaper for the company. Whether it's better for the consumer is the billion-dollar question. But AIOS is betting that speed wins.
It's that same theme again, speed and friction reduction. But there's a flip side here. The more we rely on these systems, the more vulnerable we are. Which brings us to the gold rush of 2026.
Cybersecurity. Specifically, the IPO of Marushka Technologies in India.
They're hitting the market with a $680 million valuation, showing 40% annual growth. I mean, these numbers are skyrocketing. But the driver isn't just hackers are bad. It feels more systemic.
It's existential. The forecast data in the report is terrifying. They expect 10.5 billion cyber attacks in 2026. The estimated global damage is $12 trillion.
Trillion.
With a T. That's not a number I can even visualize.
To put it in perspective, that's larger than the GDP of almost every country on Earth combined, except for the superpowers.
Wow.
We aren't talking about someone stealing your credit card number anymore. We're talking about attacks on power grids, water supplies, national banking systems.
And that's Marushka's niche, right? They aren't doing antivirus for your laptop.
Correct. They focus on data centers and what India calls PSUs, public sector undertakings, basically the government.
So they've built a moat. If you're the Indian government, you aren't going to hire a startup to protect the national power grid. And that's why their retention rate is 94%. Once Marushka's in your system, you can't afford to kick them out. It's a utility. You pay your electric bill, your water bill, and you pay your Marushka bill.
It's fascinating how the narrative has shifted. 5 years ago, security was an IT problem. Now it's a CEO problem.
That's a boardroom problem. If you get hacked in 2026, you don't just lose data, you lose your job. The liability is just too high.
Which segues perfectly into the anxiety I hear from everyone. We want the magic of AI, but we are terrified of who is watching.
The privacy paradox. We want the service, but we hate the surveillance.
73% of users say they are worried about AI storing their data, and frankly, they should be. If I'm a hospital, I can't just upload patient records to ChatGPT and hope for the best.
You absolutely cannot. And this is where that presentation from Consensus Hong Kong comes in, a project called AlphaTon.
Confidential AI. Okay, the white paper is dense, but the concept relies on something called multi-party computation. Can you break that down without putting everyone to sleep?
Think of it like the Coca-Cola recipe.
Okay, I'm listening.
Nobody knows the whole recipe. One person knows the amount of sugar, another knows the secret herbs, another knows the mixing temperature. To make the soda, they all have to do their part, but they never share their secrets with each other.
Okay, so applying that to AI, if I send a medical record to AlphaTon.
It shreds the record into encrypted shards. Node A gets a piece, node B gets a piece. They process their little part of the puzzle without ever seeing the whole picture.
So the AI learns nothing about my data.
The server is blind. It processes the data without ever seeing it. The answer only gets reassembled back on your own device.
That sounds perfect. So why isn't everyone doing this?
Because it's slow and it's expensive.
The classic trade-off.
Yeah. Standard ChatGPT takes about a second. AlphaTon takes 3 to 5 seconds. And it costs about 5 cents per query.
Which sounds cheap until you run a million queries a day.
That's the friction point. For a casual user asking for a pancake recipe, it's not worth it. But if you're a bank working on a merger, or a hospital analyzing cancer scans, you will happily pay 5 cents and wait 3 seconds to guarantee that data never leaks.
It's a premium tier for privacy.
Exactly. And as regulation tightens look at the EU's AI Act, compliance is going to force companies into these solutions. Privacy isn't a luxury anymore. It's a legal requirement.
So we've covered the hype, the panic, the security, and the privacy, but we have to end with a reality check. Is any of this actually profitable?
That is the question of the hour. And we have earnings reports from three AI-focused companies today that tell the whole story.
All right, let's run through them. First up, Netsol.
The valedictorian. Profitable, stable, growing.
They're in the automotive leasing space.
And the reason they're winning is that they aren't an AI company. They are a leasing software company that uses AI.
That distinction is so crucial.
It's everything. They use AI to detect fraud, predict car values. It's a tool that makes their existing real business better.
Okay, contrast that with company number two, Moving Image.
This is the high-growth, high-burn model, media and AI. Revenue's up 180%. Explosive growth.
But they're losing money.
They are. But the report is optimistic because the losses are shrinking. They have a clear path to profitability by late 2026. So investors will forgive the burn.
And then we have the cautionary tale, ReAlpha.
The disaster. Real estate plus AI. On paper, sounds like a slam dunk.
In reality.
In reality, they are burning $2.1 million every single month.
And they only have 8 months of cash left.
Less, probably. This is the trap. They try to build a business around AI instead of using AI to solve a real business problem. Just slapping AI on a real estate site doesn't fix the underlying economics of selling houses.
It feels like the market is finally waking up from the honeymoon phase. It's not enough to just say, we have an LLM.
The AI wrapper companies are dying. If your entire product is just a pretty interface on top of OpenAI, you have no moat. Companies like NetSol have a moat. ReAlpha is just swimming in the open ocean with no life jacket.
So if we pull all these threads together, Sony fighting for relevance, Resolve changing how we buy, Nissan firing staff to pivot. What's the headline for February 2026?
I think the headline is The Great Filter.
The filter.
The hype cycle's over. Now comes the utility cycle. The technology is here. It works. And we're seeing companies making drastic, painful choices like Nissin because they realize that standing still is a death sentence.
It's adapt or die.
Brutally so.
And that leads us to the thought I want to leave everyone with today. We talked about Nason, a boring, traditional finance company changing its entire identity overnight just to survive.
It's a terrifying precedent.
It is, but I want you listening right now to think about your own industry, your own job. If a massive financial institution is willing to fire its legacy staff and become a tech company in 24 hours, how safe is your legacy skill set?
It forces the question. If that wave came for your industry tomorrow, could you pivot? Or are you one of the 150 people Nissan just let go?
That is a thought that is definitely going to keep me up tonight. But hey, better to be awake and prepared than asleep at the wheel. That's it for this week's deep dive. In 2026, technology never sleeps, and neither do we. Thanks for listening.